Today we want to look at some other faces as well. I want to put some pictures up on the screen here in a moment of some famous faces, or at least faces you might know, portraits, paintings. I'll start with an easy one. You're going to tell me what it's called, and then we'll see if you know who the artist was. Probably the most famous painting up on the screen here. What is it? Good. Mona Lisa. Does anyone know who painted it? Da Vinci. Okay, so you guys have that one down perfectly. Here comes a hard one, the next one. Good. Girl with a Pearl Earring by Vermeer. We have some very artsy, high-end people here this morning. They get this stuff. Next one. Good. Whistler's Mother. Now, does anybody know who the artist was? It's kind of obvious. Whistler, yes. Okay, James Whistler. Painted his mom. Isn't that sweet? Here's another one. Yeah, it's called American Gothic. I call it America's Scariest Grandparents. You know, this was actually modeled for by Grant Wood, the artist. That's his sister and his dentist. Does anybody want to go to that dentist? I'm not so sure. So you guys passed really well on that. The thing is that when we look at these pictures, when we look at these various portraits, we really don't know anything about those people. We can kind of walk into an art gallery and we could stare at it. We could admire the brush strokes and the lighting. But it doesn't really help us figure out how to live. What we want to do today in this series we've been in the book of Proverbs is to look at four characters that come up time and time and time again in the book of Proverbs. And they're meant to teach us. We're going to walk into this gallery called Proverbs and look at these four portraits and say, who are those people? What do we see in their lives? What's their destiny? Should we imitate them or should we avoid them? And then, what if that's me? What do I do about that? So as we do that, what I want to do is invite you, as we look at these faces, to examine the outcome of their lives, and then by faith, choose the way of wisdom. So let's enter our portrait gallery, and the first picture that we're going to look at is called the simple. They're inexperienced with wisdom. Time and time again in the book of Proverbs, the writer refers to this individual called the simple. Who is the simple? Well, there's somebody who has not yet had enough interaction with wise decisions to make wise decisions themselves. They've neither accepted nor rejected wisdom. We'll call them the newbie, okay? And so what do we see when we look at this picture? First of all, we probably see someone who is young. The Proverbs are written, says chapter 1, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So young, listen up and pay attention to these important sayings of truth that will help guide you in life. Also, they could be older, but what we might still call naive. 14:15 says, the simple believe anything. They're gullible. Okay, whatever you say. But the prudent, another name for wise, give thought to their steps. There's another passage later in chapter 7 that talks about the simple, and it's sort of a picture of a person getting seduced by pleasures. And the pleasures can be all kinds in life. Here it's sort of that of almost a prostitute. And it says this in chapter 7:21, with persuasive words she led him astray. She seduced him, that's the simple, with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter. This is some pretty graphic language here. Like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver. Like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. I love that phrase. Just unaware. Just, okay. And then realizing, oh my goodness, the consequences are deadly. We see in this picture the simple sort of stumbling along because they're blind to the consequences of their actions. They haven't lived long enough to see what comes of it. 22:3 says, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Now, all of us here have done stupid. Raise your hand if you've done stupid before. Come on. All right, somebody calls it paying the stupid tax. We've paid stupid tax. Here's the deal. And I want to especially talk to some of you who are younger in this audience. Learn now while you can. Because the earlier you learn these lessons, the cost is lower and the consequences are less consequential. If you don't learn the lessons of wisdom until later in life, you're going to pay a much higher cost. And the consequences are much harder to undo. So learn early. So that's what the simple looks like. What is their destiny? Where are they going? Where does this path lead, according to Proverbs? Well, first of all, the simple person can't stay simple. The excuse, I don't know, or I didn't know. You've probably heard that from your kids. Well, no one told me. I don't know how to do it. Wash the dishes. I don't know how. Okay, that only lasts for so long. Eventually, you know, you're either going to become wise or you're going to become a fool. You're going to take one of those two paths. That's the destiny of the simple. So what's our response? If we encounter people who are just kind of making these mistakes out of sheer ignorance, do we just write them off? Do we chastise them? Do we yell at them? Our response to the simple is to come alongside and to instruct, to teach, to coach, to take them under our wing with patience and careful instruction, the Bible tells us. You know, that's why while you're sitting in this room, there's 60-some kids out there in the other rooms who are young. And very purposefully, we're walking them through discipleship to help them learn the path of wisdom, which is the way of Jesus Christ, the walk of the gospel. And they need patient and careful instruction. So praise God for all of you who are working with our kids and with our teens and with adults, because many of us are still simple. But thank you for investing in those young lives. Now, what if this is you? What if, as we examine this portrait, you see a little reflection of yourself in there? And you're going, yeah, sometimes I just keep doing the same dumb thing. Or I just don't know. I get easily led astray, and I don't know how to stand up for myself. I don't even know what is right to stand up for. I want to say, be teachable. To be teachable is one of the best qualities to carry through your entire life. To know that you don't know everything. One person has said, you don't know what you know until you, or you don't know what you don't know until you know it. In other words, I don't even know what I should know that I don't know. Until later on I go, aha, until I have that aha moment. Proverbs 9 says, wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She sent out her servants and she calls from the highest point of the city. Now there's wisdom is shouting to us on a daily basis. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Wisdom is shouting at us every day, don't go there. Don't go there. This way, this is the path of life. And we find this wisdom from the beginning to the last page of Scripture. We hear this wisdom unpacked for us on Sundays and so many good teachings online or in Bible studies. The question is, are you listening? Are you paying attention to the shouting? Or are you missing it? So to the young, life is a skill that has to be learned. Wisdom is a skill that has to be learned. And usually we learn it from somebody older, someone from a little more experience. It starts with our parents, right? They teach us to walk and to talk and how to eat and how to use the toilet and how to brush our teeth, how to treat a girl, how to cook, how to wash dishes. These are important, just basic life skills that we learn. But there are so many other skills of life. How to discern right from wrong. How to stand up for what is right. How to use your mouth, we talked about this a few weeks ago, to give life rather than to produce death and chaos and destruction. And this takes a lifetime to learn. So I have this kind of charge for you, for all of us really, but especially those who are still simple, all of us who need to grow in wisdom. Seek out the wrinkles of wisdom. Seek out the wrinkles of wisdom. What do I mean by that? Find some old people to hang out with. Seriously, find some old people to hang out with, because here's what happens. When we're young, we sort of write off old people. We just kind of look at them and go, they can't even figure out their iPhone. How can they figure out life? Right? As if iPhone equals life. And they dress funny. And they smell old. So like, let's just kind of marginalize, move them off to the edge of society. And do you realize what we have done? We have just taken stores of wisdom and thrown it away. Because the Bible tells us from time and time and time again, the voice of experience is a voice we should listen to. And at every single stage of our lives, we should be looking to people who have already been in that stage. Who is it that's just a few years ahead of me? Who is it that's already navigated the empty nest or navigated early retirement or whatever's just ahead of you? Now, not everybody's going to be a wise person in that, just so you know. You've got to find somebody who's walked with Christ, somebody who's made mistakes. That's okay. Don't look for someone perfect. Look for someone who's learned and is learning and can pass on what they're learning. You don't want an arrogant person that's going to come along and say, you know, when I was your age, this is what I did. You're supposed to do that. You want somebody that comes along and says, yeah, it's rough, isn't it? Here's what I found successful. And here's where I screwed up and what I learned from it. And I want to save you that heartache. So listen to what I've learned. Wisdom is a skill to be learned. And if we are simple still, and many of us are in different areas of life, I want to plead with you. Don't just try to figure it out yourself. Look to the wise. Hear the voice of wisdom shouting to you and answer. So that's the simple. We're going to look at another canvas right next to it. And the Bible in Proverbs is probably the most common person we see besides the wise mentioned in Proverbs, and that's the fool. While the simple doesn't understand or hasn't yet heard wisdom, they're ignorant, the fool hears wisdom and ignores it. They've heard it. They've been taught. They understand at some level, and they choose to walk the other direction. So when we look at this portrait, what do we see in the picture? We see somebody with fingers in their ears. They don't want to listen. Here's just a few samplings of that from Proverbs. 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Are you teachable? Do you seek it out? Do you ask people's advice? 17:10 says, "A rebuke impresses a discerning person more than 100 lashes a fool." In other words, somebody who's discerning will hear correction and go, "I should listen to that, or at least consider that." The fool, like, you can just whack them and whack them and whack them and say, "What are you, silly person, doing?" And they don't pay any attention at all. 1:32 says, "For the waywardness of the simple will kill them." Waywardness is just, you just wander off the path. That's what the simple does. But the fool is complacent. The complacency of fools will destroy them. In other words, they know, but they just don't care. They just sit there and go, "Yeah, I'll get to that later." No self-control like Norm talked about last week. We also see the fool not just with their fingers in their ears, but with their mouth wide open. Their mouth gets them in trouble. Their temper gets them in trouble. 18:2 says, "Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions." Got to tell everybody what they think. 18:7 says, "The mouths of fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives." Until we have learned wisdom and discipline of the tongue, we are subject to living lives of folly. And then 23 says, "It is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel." How have you been doing with the words? Are you giving life on a daily basis, or is it demonstrating folly in your heart? So we look at this picture, we see the fingers in the ears, the mouth wide open, but if we look in the background on one side, we see a party going on, because the fool loves a party. They're proud and overconfident, the music is jamming and the wine is flowing and they've had too much, but life is good. Until they wake up the next day and go, "What did I do?" Some of us have been there. That's the life, the path of folly. They always have, the Proverbs tell us, some financial scheme, always trying to get quick rich or get rich quick, kind of cheat, go around the normal way you're supposed to do something. That's the path of the fool. And they always have an excuse for why they're either being lazy or didn't do what they were supposed to do. They're just quick with an excuse. That's what Proverbs tells us about the fool. In the back of the portrait on the other side, you know what we see according to Proverbs? We see some parents with tears in their eyes and broken hearts. 17:21 says, "To have a fool for a child brings grief. There is no joy for the parent of a godless fool." And some of us know we've caused a lot of heartache to our parents because of our stupid tax. And they paid it, not us, or we both have. We need to repent from that. We need to maybe go ask forgiveness for what we've put our parents through, because we ignored their wisdom. We ignored the wisdom of Scripture, and we just plowed straight ahead. And my goodness, what pain we've caused. And for some of you, it's the pain you are causing. And I want to tell you, wake up before it's too late for you and for the damage that's being done elsewhere as well. So what is the destiny of the fool? I mean, so what? So we live for the moment. Big deal. Where does that end up? It's not pretty. Full of trouble. Proverbs 1:32 says, "The complacency of fools will destroy them." 10:8 says, "The wise in heart accepts commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin." That's their end. "The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment." Death. So how do we respond to someone that we encounter who lives like this? Now, first of all, I want to put out a big, giant caution sign, because we're taught in the New Testament to be very, very careful and reluctant to ever call anybody a fool, because it's one of those, finger pointing that way, a bunch pointing back kind of a deal. So I don't want to put that label on anybody, but we still need to discern people's behavior. And so when you see a fool in their folly, what do? Do you write them off? Do we walk away from them? No, the Bible tells us to warn a fool, even in their folly, to wave the red flag and say, stop, stop. 1:23 says, "Repent at my rebuke." This is wisdom crying out. "Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings." We still need to, as painful as it is and hopeless as it seems sometimes, to instruct. Now, I found as a parent, especially, you don't nag. You just, like, I'm going to tell you this one time, and I'm going to tell you really seriously. Here's what I think about this. I'm not going to nag you from now on, but just so you know, when I'm not talking about it, it doesn't mean I've changed my mind. This is still what I think. But I'm not going to nag you about it. You've got to hear this. On the flip side, while we're engaged in warning, the Bible tells us on a regular basis we have to work to avoid the influence of the fool. Don't hang out with foolish people or you will become foolish as well. 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." A companion of fools suffers harm. It's better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool bent on folly. We live in Bear Creek Township, and when we moved here, I want to see a bear. Like, I want to look out in the woods in our backyard and see a bear going by. And Tammy does not want to see a bear going by. When we go on hikes, and it's kind of that time of day where you might see a bear, I'm like kind of looking for a bear. And she's kind of making really loud noise so the bears will all run away. I'm like, honey, we're not going to see a bear. She keeps reminding me, we live in Bear Creek Township. There it is. Nobody wants to run into a bear protecting their cubs, because we know there's danger there. What the Proverbs is saying is it's more dangerous to live with a fool in their folly and get sucked into that. Other things are said. Don't trust them. Don't hire them. Don't send them on an errand because they're not trustworthy. And this is hard to do. I remember in high school, my best friend, when they got to be seniors, we were both Christians, but he started kind of walking in a path of folly. And we had to, or I had to kind of make some decisions. We still hung out. We were still good friends. I'd still say best friends. But we did not spend the same kind of amount of time and doing the same kind of things we used to do, because I could start to see where that was going. And it was heartbreaking. It was really hard, but it was necessary. Now, perhaps one of the most well-known and poignant proverbs as it relates to a fool. And by the way, all of us do foolish things. What we're talking about with this portrait is the person who has a pattern of foolish behavior, repetitive, again and again. And I don't know of a proverb that says it better than this. 26:11 says, "As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly." Those of you who have dogs know what they're talking about. You go, that's disgusting. What are you doing? And that's exactly what we do when we're fooled. Why do I do that again? And then I do it again. And then I go back to that same stupid pattern. So warn them, but be careful that they don't influence you and drag them to the puke, okay? Drag you to their puke. You don't want that. But then, more than anything, learn from them. This is kind of an underlying theme that I really want you to get this morning. Time and time and time again, the Bible invites you to examine people's lives. Not judge them, but examine their lives and the outcome and choose the way of wisdom. Why do we have all the stories recorded for us of Adam and Eve and their decisions, Cain and Abel and their decisions, how Moses lived or David lived, or nations lived like Israel or Babylon? The Apostle Paul says, examine my life and imitate my faith. We are invited from beginning to end to look at people's lives and say, how's that working out for them? I think maybe I should do this instead. Or how's that working out for them? Wow, I should do it like they do it, life. You are invited regularly to do that. So we have the simple. We have the fool, the one talked about the most. Now we want to cast our attention on a third portrait, and I'm going to guess there's very few of them in the room today. It's called the mocker. The mocker is somebody who openly opposes wisdom. They oppose wisdom. So if you're here listening to somebody teach from Scripture, you're probably not in that category, I'm going to guess. And yet, we see them in life everywhere. What do we see? What does this picture look like? First of all, they are an activist for folly. They are calling people to foolish living. Mockers stir up a city, but the wise turn away anger. They stir up a city. They're troublemakers. They themselves may not do the foolish living. They just kind of enjoy watching other people do it. They're a scorner of wisdom. Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise, 15:12 says. 21:24 says, the proud and arrogant person, mocker is his name. They're arrogant. They behave with arrogant pride. They know everything. Those religious people, those Christian people, the people who, you know, read the Bible, that's just stupid. This is where truth is. And they mock. Now, this scorner of wisdom, what's their destiny? Scriptures tell us there are penalties prepared for the mocker. That when a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. There's actually a benefit in the end, hopefully, if to their fall, that the simple will learn from that. And this object lesson is one we have to be patient to see. Fools, we can see their problems right away. But mockers, they seem successful for a period of time. And yet the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians that God will not be mocked. People who oppose him will face the consequence, maybe not immediately, but we have to watch and be patient for that. How do we respond to the mocker? Well, Proverbs tell us that they're going to be antagonistic, and you're probably not going to make much progress with them. Do not rebuke a mocker, or they will hate you. 22:1 says, drive out the mocker, and out go strife, quarrels, and insults. There are mockers, even there's kind of this movement we might call the ex-evangelical movement. People who have moved from being within the church to outside the church and actively trying to, from the outside, bring questions and destruction. And we need to be cautious and aware. Let me speak to anyone in the room who sort of plays the role of what the Bible would call a shepherd. This could be a pastor. This is certainly a parent. Maybe a teacher or a grandparent, somebody who plays that role in people's lives, a leader in a family, a shepherd who has littler sheep that you're trying to guide. We as shepherds encounter wayward sheep, the simple and the fool, people who have gone off the rails, and it is our job to lovingly correct, instruct, bind up their wounds, try again, and then try again, and then try again. That's what a shepherd does. But you know what a shepherd does when a wolf comes? They shoot him. That's the mocker. And there are times in life where we have to realize there is somebody who is coming with an agenda to do harm. And our purpose there is to guard and to protect, whether it's in a church or parents with kids. This is one of the roughest things, is when with your young kids do you create distance, whether it's because they're being influenced by a fool or the family or the person involved is a mocker, and you have to take some more drastic action. And it's one of the hardest decisions we make, but it's our role. It's our responsibility. Now, what if this is you? We didn't address that with the fool, so let me go back to that and then mention it for the mocker as well. First of all, the fool. What if you see yourself in that category? I'm just going to ask you, do you want to be that person? The one that's known for don't do it like they do. Don't make their mistakes. And so I want to say to you, act now. Turn from your folly now. Seek help and wisdom now. Cry out in prayer to God now. Because those consequences will get more painful if you wait. They will get more painful. What if you're the mocker? Well, then I will shoot you. I mean, I will pray for you. I will pray for you. Because that's, you're never going to argue a mocker. Only God's going to change their heart. And it's just kneel before God and pray for them. Finally, we come to the last portrait, the one that's just all over the pages of Proverbs and of Scripture, and that is the wise. We've been hearing about the wise over several weeks. The wise invites instruction and correction. They hear wisdom's call and they answer. They say, teach me. I want to learn truth, God's truth. So when we look at this portrait, what do we see? We see someone seeking instruction. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. We're okay with being corrected. It's not pretty and it's painful, but we recognize there's growth there. 12:15 says, the way of a fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Now I want to just talk a little bit about how you learn wisdom. I want to just stand publicly and say, I'm the second of two kids, and I have an older sister, and I want to thank my sister for doing, let me say this more carefully. I want to thank my sister for making mistakes in front of me so I could learn. She saved me a lot of grief. You know, when you see your sister after she's disciplined by your father, look at him and go, that didn't hurt. And then I see what happens next. I go, I'm never saying that. And I learn really quick from somebody else's mistakes. There are at least three different ways to learn, and there are some that are better than others. So let me put up this chart of learning, three ways to gain wisdom. The most difficult, and yes, most common, is at the bottom, personal experience. It takes no faith to learn from personal experience. I touch the stove, I burn my hand, I'm not going to touch the stove. I go out and I just get stone drunk and I do all kinds of stupid things and then I go, well, that was really stupid. Okay? Someone could tell me what's going to happen, but I don't believe them. I got to do it myself. Got to learn the hard way. So down at the bottom, it takes no faith. To go up the pyramid, faith increases. But at the bottom, that's where the most pain is. The next way you can learn is to observe the outcome of other people's lives, what I'm telling you today. We can watch somebody touch the stove and go, well, that was stupid. Now, there's still pain in the equation. It's not my pain, it's their pain. But there's still pain in the equation. And it's still better for me to learn from watching them than me touch the stove. It doesn't take a whole lot of faith for me to learn that. I just have to have eyeballs and a little bit of faith that that's a repeated issue and I shouldn't do it. But the most important, the best way to learn, and the one that we hate the most, is by faith to listen to instruction and believe. When mom says, don't touch the stove, you'll get hurt, you say, you know, most of the time mom's a pretty wise woman. So I'm going to believe her and I'm never going to touch the stove. And guess what? That takes a lot of faith. And it's the least painful way to learn. And the Bible is just full of this, saying, learn by instruction. Take wisdom's advice and you'll save yourself all kind of trouble. But it requires a lot of faith and belief and trust in godly people who are teaching. Or you can say, well, I don't know, I got to go try it. We've all been there. And then we go, why did I try that? That was stupid. And the consequences may be very, very hard. So that's the way to learn. Wisdom is at the top of that pyramid. That's what the Proverbs are calling us to do. So what is the destiny of the wise? Well, they have the benefits of wisdom, stability, success, respect, life, better relationships. And how do we respond to the wise? Watch them when we encounter them. Learn from them. Ask them questions. Now, I was always told, if you want to be a better, you know, ball player, whether it's basketball or soccer, those are the sports I played, play with people who are better than you. Because you'll pick up a lot of things. And that's what I want to say with life. Hang out with some people who live life more wisely than you. So you can pick up that skill. And finally, what if this is me? What if I read the scriptures and I go, mostly I'm doing okay. I've learned different ways how to walk wisely. Well, first of all, the Bible says don't be wise in your own eyes. We all have room for growth. In fact, Proverbs 1:5 says, let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. There's always room for growth. Again, we live in a culture that says everybody gets to do their own thing and every choice is equally okay. Don't judge anybody. The Bible also tells us don't judge people. Don't condemn them. That's God. God is the one that will decide ultimately whether people are walking rightly or not, whether they're walking with Christ or not. But I want to tell you, just clear as a bell, you cannot escape in Scripture from page to page to page. You are invited to look at my life. And I'm invited to look at yours. To help, to love, to encourage, to grow, but also to learn from one another, from the good decisions you make and the stupid decisions you make, from the folly you see in my life and the wisdom you see in my life, so that you can walk in the path of wisdom. Parents, you've got to be pointing these things out to your kids regularly. So what do you think about what they did over here? Not judging, but where do you think that's going? That is the path of wisdom. So let's talk about some next steps here. Next steps. What can we do to put this into practice? First of all, will you commit to the way of wisdom? Some of you are committed to the path of folly. You don't want to walk the path of wisdom. I'm saying today, turn now. And Jesus is the starting path of wisdom. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the wisdom of God. Wisdom is both a path to follow and a person to follow. You've got to give your heart to Christ and just say, I'm turning from all that other stuff. I'm going to seek wisdom. I'm going to listen to it. Second is this, turn from your vomit. I couldn't say it any better than Scripture. Turn from your vomit. Can you, all of us in the room, identify an area in our lives where we have foolish habits or behaviors? Why do I keep doing that? You've got to seek help. Repent and seek guidance. Seek instruction. Seek accountability. Get rid of that. And finally, what I already mentioned, seek the wrinkles of wisdom. Ask for insight from someone who has been there and learned. Whatever phase you're in right now, find someone who's been there, who has a teachable heart and has learned, and say, can I ask you some questions? Would you come alongside and help me? It's humbling. It takes effort. But that is the path of wisdom. Every day, we go out of our houses, and on display is the portrait gallery of the world. And we are called to learn from that. And I hope every day you get into God's Word and you see the portrait gallery of the wise and you learn from that as well. I want to invite you to stand as we close in prayer. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke, then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Heavenly Father, thank you for the people in our lives who have built into us the truth of Scripture, the way of Christ, the path of wisdom. We thank you for them. Lord, for the areas in our lives where we have our fingers in our ears and we are just charging into the path of folly, Lord, shake us up, warn us, help us to see where we're going, and help us to choose instead the path of wisdom. Thank you for your word that teaches us and people who love us and teach us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and walk in the path of wisdom.